Hi, it's Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. WAIF Cincinnati, what radio is meant to be.
My name is Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together we are the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Did you say that already?
Yes, I sure as heck did. Big show tonight. It's cram-packed full of goodness. It's the Sunshine Power Hour. We're on for 2 hours. That way we can have twice as much fun. We'll talk to Professor Bob Fitrakis of Columbus State University.
Is he professor, college professor, hippie, liberal college professor scum?
I don't know. He's one of these long-haired professors that's poisoning the youth of America with his liberal, I spell it, socialist ideology.
And is he the guy that says, keep the UN out of Iraq?
I don't know what he says. We'll find out. We'll talk to Professor Bob Fitrakis. A little bit later on in this edition of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, we'll also talk to budding entrepreneur and would-be David Geffen. You know him as Aloe Vera. We know him as Ike. What is your name tonight?
Mark Eichner.
It's Mark Eichner. He's going by his full Christian name of Mark Eichner.
And he's the CEO, the president, and the mailboy of Miracle Records. If it's a hit, it's got to be a miracle. So check it out, Miracle Records, that's coming up as well. But first, let me tell you about the Cirque Ingenue. Now ask me, what is the Cirque Ingenue?
How about the Cirque Ingenue?
Yeah, something like that. It's some kind of big Broadway musical that's going down at the Aronoff Center.
No, it's like a big wild, crazy circus.
It's like a big orgy. They're having an orgy at the Aronoff Center.
It's like the Chinese
weekend.
Acrobats of Taiwan. You got guys picking up big things of marbles with their feet. You got, you know, people building pyramids with chairs.
Is that what it's all about? They got jugglers, too?
They got jugglers juggling with razor blades. It's all kinds of stuff.
Since it's French, and since the French do have a dwarf-tossing tradition, is there going to be any midget-tossing?
There's tons of that.
The Cirque Ingenue, it's going to be at the Aronoff Center this coming weekend. We have two pairs of tickets. That's right. Count them. One, two.
This weekend?
No, I take that back. We have one pair of tickets. That's two tickets total, right? Is that how the math works? Friday, February 27th, 8 o'clock p.m. at the Aronoff Center, named after our favorite Ohio State Senator, Stanley J. Aronoff. If you'd like to pick up a pair of tickets, call Jim right now, 749-1444.
Well, they have to answer a question or something?
No, I just want to get these damn things away and get it over with.
You could have just gave them to me. I know tons of people would love to go see Cirque Ingenue.
But we're giving them on the radio. It's what they call in the biz, promo.
And what do we get out of this?
The satisfaction of hooking some people up with some tickets to a big Broadway show. The Cirque Ingenue, 749-1444. Jim just gave them away.
Put this guy on the air, see if the phones work.
Music by Katara.
No, he has to go on the air because we got to test the phones.
Hello, are you there?
Hey.
Hey, what's your name?
Chris.
Hey, Chris, you're going to go see the Cirque Ingenue with music by Kitaro.
Great.
Pretty. Do you know anything about this show?
No, not a whole lot.
It sounds pretty wacky to me. They got midget tossing.
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
Yeah, so check it out.
Cool.
So there you go. What's on your mind tonight, Chris?
Not much. Just tuning in, see what's going on.
Well, thanks for checking the phones for us, Chris, and enjoy the big show.
Thank you.
By the way, tickets are available at Will Call.
Okay.
But if your name is Will, then you get the tickets,
up.
Right?
Just shut up.
Okay.
So if you have a question about how to become a big rock star, you can call up and ask our guest, Mark Eichner. He will answer them because on his record label, Miracle Records, it's got a roster comparable to the Phil Spector powerhouse lineup that he had back in the mid-60s.
We'll get things started off with the Bloodshot. Is that the name of the group? The Bloodshot?
The Bloodshot.
The song is called Tailspin. It's available at Wizards locally and other fine record establishments.
Who are the Bloodshot? Sure. Tell us about the Bloodshot.
The Bloodshot. They're from San Diego, California. And let's see, the guy who put the thing together, some kids may remember him from a band called Big Hunk of Cheese, bass player from that band. And they're kind of a heavy metal sort of thing. And they got it going on out there, and it's just tons of fun.
This is the Bloodshot with Tailspin.
Quite a
Ends cold.
What's that?
That thing ends cold.
In the radio business, they say it ends cold. The bloodshot
you
with tails.
You could have given the high sign on that, Mark. When you're working these records to radio, you got to let the DJs know that it ends cold.
Eichner of Miracle Records is in the studio tonight with the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, helping us promote the bloodshot. The single is called Tailspin. It's one of those 45 RPM records. It's a record dig black vinyl. Check it out. It's, you know, your grandpa might have some of those in the basement. Old records. It's available locally at Wizards and Ziola Records. Both of them are located in Coryville. The Bloodshot.
Split single, 7-inch. Actually, 33 and a third.
Check it out.
Yeah.
It's at that old speed.
That's right. It's split single, The Bloodshot from San Diego, and then the other band is Fatso Jetson from Los Angeles. And Fatso is... they agreed to do this split single with us, but they're in the studio right now doing, they're recording a record for Bong Load Records. Bong Load is based out of LA, and that is a label that Beck used to be on.
You mean Beck, that wacky producer dude who did Odelay, the Devil's Haircut and all that?
That's the same child, yes.
Okay. So this is Fatso Jetson. Hey, if you would like to pick one of these up, like I said, they're available at Wizards and Ziola.
Ariolas.
Both on the short vine there.
Miracle Records, if it's a hit.
Can we do something here?
What do you want to do?
Can we do something here? Can we maybe give some away?
You mean like a radio giveaway?
Something like that.
Wow,
yeah.
Sure, why not? If you want one, how many you want to give away?
I want to give away a half dozen.
A half a dozen of these?
Holy cow, how can you afford it? You must be crazy.
Well, we're going to be working Jim to the bone. Jim is the fellow who answers the phones for us. He's been doing it for years. If you want one of these records...
I want to give a half dozen away to one person.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
For real? Are you serious?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
No, I'm not.
The next six people who call 749-1444, that's 749-1444, will receive the split single, The Bloodshot Tailspin, and Fatso Jetson, and the name of the song?
Accelerator General. Thank you.
Fatso Jetson there. You're listening to Fatso Jetson with a song called Accelerator General. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, and this music is being brought to us tonight courtesy of Miracle Records. Miracle Records Vice President and CEO Mark Eichner is in the studio with us tonight, and if you would like to chat with him about what does it take to get your band in the record stores, on the radio, and distributed for all the kids all across the country to enjoy and rock and bob their heads to, you can give us a call. Mark would love to talk to you. 749-1444. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Now, Mark, when you're looking for a new band to join the Miracle Camp, what kind of band do you look for? Is there any, what kind of characteristics do you like a young band to have?
I don't know. Basically, stuff that I like. It doesn't necessarily have to be loud and all that. But, you know, they really...
Now, what if there was a band out there that sounded like Matchbox 20 or somebody that you probably don't care much for, but you know right away, hey, this has got hit potential all over it. Are you torn there? Do you go with your heart? Do you go with your head? What do you do in that case?
Depends, really. I think anybody like a Matchbox 20 would probably just skip my step and move on to something else.
Having a chick in the band always helps, doesn't it?
Yeah. There's no chicks on the label, so that's definitely a possibility.
Are you sexist? Are you afraid of women? You misogynistic? You're afraid of women?
No,
is that what it is?
No, I think
you're afraid of women?
No, I think women are afraid of me. I'm open to that.
So what made you want to become a record label owner?
Time on my hands, I guess.
Now, you also play in a band on your label.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like Puffy.
Who's
Puffy? Sean Puffy Combs. Do you look up to Sean Puffy Combs as a hero?
Oh, I am Puff Daddy.
What about Babyface? Hey, this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I just told you we're talking to the president of Miracle Records. Miracle Records, check it out, available at local record store near
talking
you.
Talking to the Puff Daddy of Miracle Records.
If it's a hit, it must be a miracle. And if you'd like to call in, 749-1444. Hello, the Reverend Al Beasley.
How you doing there, Chris?
I'm okay. How are you doing there, Reverend Al Beasley?
I'm doing fantastic. I decided to call in because you have a great subject tonight talking about the record business.
Have you ever put out your own record, your own hit single, Reverend Beasley?
Well, the Reverend Al Beasley was involved in the music business in the early 80s. Had my own album on Warner Brothers Records, Watts and Beasley. Went to number 9 on the Billboard charts.
Really? What was the big hit?
Breakaway.
Breakaway.
Yeah, Breakaway.
How did it go? Can you hum
it?
Was it
a dance song?
Yeah, it was a dance song.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How
Breakaway.
Did it go?
Well, we don't want to hum the hook of it right now because we aren't being compensated for our fee.
But this is
right
WAIF,
now.
And unlike the other big commercial radio stations in this town, Ribbit, 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 we don't partake in payola.
Are you insinuating that other people do?
Not at all. I would never insinuate anything on the air.
But I would like to say that there is a history that needs to be told about rock and roll. Here in Cincinnati, Ohio, there's a person by the name of Gary Heron, who is the original atomic drummer, who started the whole concept of using the double bass drumming that you see a lot of rock drummers use in the 70s and some of the young kids are using now.
What was this cat's name again?
His name is Gary Heron.
When did he get his start?
Oh, man, he started in the 60s with James Brown and had a group called 1,000 Watts DC and 400 Years of What.
And did he ever think that the bass double drum experience was ever going to reach the heights that it did during Hot for Teacher Van Halen 1984?
Well, you know, Eddie Van Halen's brother got a lot of his licks from Gary Heron. That's what I'm saying. This guy was right here in Cincinnati.
He's the guy you hear sampled on all those rap records, isn't he?
No, they don't actually sample stuff, but what they did was he revolutionized the concept of drumming. Before that, you basically had your Ringo Starr with, you know, bass drum, snare, tom, and floor tom, a couple of cymbals. This guy, Gary Heron, just went ballistic on the drums and created a whole, just a revolution. But Chris,
uh-huh.
I'd like to know why you haven't invited the Reverend Al on your talk show. The last time, you know, and I did you a favor by not filing any kind of legal papers on you for slandering me in that little newsletter you put out about the Reverend Al, fascism, the whole piece.
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't mentioned my name on the airwaves. I mean,
well, I don't have any reason to really mention your name on the airwaves, Reverend Beasley, because you're not really that important. I mean, you're a nice guy.
What do you mean I'm not important?
You're not really any big deal, dude.
I am the heavyweight champion of talk radio. How can you say that the Reverend Al Beasley is not important?
Well, I mean,
in fact,
you're important in God's eyes.
You don't even have any controversy. Look, there is no talk radio without Reverend Al Beasley, and you know it.
Well, actually,
there is no talk radio.
There is no talk radio without radios and transmitters. But without the Reverend Al Beasley, the rest of us will get along just fine.
Without Reverend Al Beasley calling in, you just got two nuts over there who should be somewhere eating some cheese cones, acting like they're doing a radio talk show.
Oh, don't get me wrong, Reverend Beasley. We love you and everything.
Now, I don't want you to love me,
but we don't really think you're that important.
The Reverend Al Beasley, there is no talk radio without the Reverend Al Beasley. Let me say something else.
Hey,
I found out, Chris, aren't you on the board of the directors over there in Wayne?
Unfortunately, I am, but we're not going there tonight.
And you and Ray have been purposely keeping the Reverend Al Beasley from getting my own talk show on the air over there, the Reverend Al's Hour of Power.
I got a little secret for you, Reverend Beasley. You're not that controversial.
I'm not trying to be controversial.
Yeah, you are.
Chris.
You're trying hard.
What I'm trying to get you to understand, buddy, is you need to stop playing radio and get some folks in there to really know what they're doing.
Hey, listen, Reverend Al, so you want to come over here and get a show on WAIF? Well, whose show do you want to take? You want to come and take our show? It ain't going to happen. Whose show are you going to kick off? Which one of the dedicated, hardworking programmers?
I already got rid of the hip rockers. I'm going to take
you're
that
get
time
rid-
spot.
You're going to take. You're going to get the midnight to two
no,
Thursday.
I don't want to be on it midnight.
That's when you're. That's when the hemp rocks
now.
On it. It's
I
on
happen
it.
Happen to be studying right now, so I just happen to turn.
What
you
are
guys
you studying?
On. But you guys are sorry excuse. But
we're not sorry anything. We're just having a good old time, and we're playing a little records tonight. We got a guest. Tonight we're doing a very non-controversial topic. The controversy will start here in about 5 or 10 minutes, but right now we're talking about music, peace, love, hippies, and beads, right? We're talking about, you know, just having a good old time all the time, no matter what your parents say. Aren't I right, Mark Eichner?
I think you're right. I was kind of sorry to hear where that conversation was going, because I wanted to ask him where that this Gary whatever
he played in James Brown's band.
Well, I just wondered
season.
If he's still around.
I don't know if he's still around or not. If he is, though, we'll look him up by next week's show.
Gary Heron, was that
Gary
his name?
Gary Heron, yeah. That's it. Yeah.
All right, so we got the Puff Daddy of Miracle Records. This is his band, Stool, and it's on the CD, the Noodle versus the.
Yeah, this is kind of a good. This is riff. Kind of a good thing. Stool is one of those bands that it can't play out live because all the members live all around the country, and the way the material is written is just through cassettes in the mail, and that's how we kind of record this.
What? You mean
record.
Like somebody writes a part, and they send a cassette to the next guy, and he writes a part, and then they send a tape of the two parts to the next guy, and he writes a part, and they put it on like a multi-track, and then they send it to the next guy?
Heavy.
That is heavy. This is Stool. The Noodle versus the Riff is the name of the CD. The song is called Scather. The record label is Miracle Records. Enjoy. Something to say to you.
like a tank. I knew you were a phony, knew you were a fake. You gotta find better, get some help before you hurt somebody, hurt yourself. You love me when I'm about to want to live, but you did to me, I can never forgive. I think I got something to say to you.
He sure does. He says, buy my record. It's by a band called Stool.
Where'd you get that name, Stool? What's that refer to? What's that all about?
It's something you sit on, right?
We thought about maybe calling the record Sample, but the idea got nixed at the last minute.
Is that still legit right there?
No, that's not legit. Okay.
Miracle Records, they're available locally at Wizards and Zyola across the street.
Right. The home office here in Cincinnati is 50 East Court Street, Suite 6, 45202.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, where the phone number is 749-1444. I want to take a minute and tell you about the York Street Cafe. The York Street Cafe is located in Newport, Kentucky, at the corner of 8th Street and, that's right, you got it, York Street, 738 York Street, and features a vegetarian-friendly menu as well as filet mignon and fresh seafood specials every day for those carnivores who enjoy eating out as well. The lunch menu features burgers, too, and after dinner, you'll want to treat yourself to one of the York Street's fresh, yummy, delicious, fabulous desserts, all of which are homemade by Shoshana Friedman, who bakes at least 5 cakes a day. And check out the second floor of the York Street Cafe. Justin Cimino will be there Thursday, the 26th. Nashville recording artist Justin Cimino, Thursday night. He's like a big deal. He's like national. He's like huge. He's humongous. Check it out. That's the York Street Cafe. Also, one other thing I want to let you know about is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show website. Now sharing a website with the WAIF homepage at www.cincinnatlas.com. That's CINCINNATLAS.
With us now on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, in addition to the Puffy Combs of Miracle Records, Mark Eichner, we have Professor Bob Fitrakis from Columbus State University. Welcome to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, Professor Fitrakis.
It's good to be on.
It's good to have you on. Now, you are up in Columbus. What's up for us? It's just there for you. You were at St. John's Arena last week when Madeleine Albright and the Cohen and Sandy Berger showed up, and people started yelling and screaming. What the heck happened? What went on there?
Well, I think the biggest thing that went on is that there was a group of people in Columbus and parts of the Midwest, some Quaker students from Erwin College, a few people from Detroit, some people from Pittsburgh, probably even a few, I think, from Cincinnati, that decided that there wasn't going to be a pep rally for the war.
So this would be what local Columbus officials would call outside agitators?
Well, no, the gist of the entire, okay. I mean, we called it, I mean, on Sunday night, we put out a call for a rally. Really about three people that had been with the Mideast Peace Committee. We'd worked together back during the Gulf War. And we really didn't know where the event was going to be. I mean, this event was, they kept the location of the event away from the public right up until Tuesday, precisely to avoid this type of situation. So we thought we'd call a rally at, you know, 12 noon, and that way if it was at 12 noon or in the afternoon, we'd stick around and at least get people over to the arena. But a lot of things happened. One is, I mean, they had two types of tickets. They had these red tickets and these white tickets. And the red tickets could speak and were pre-approved. And then they had a variety of white tickets where you weren't allowed to say anything. But they wouldn't allow one group, For a Better Ohio, which primarily works on legalizing industrial hemp. They wouldn't allow them into the rally, so one of their members went over and thought they'd duplicate 80 tickets on cardstock and pass them out to all the peace demonstrators.
So the hemp guys helped out the peace guys.
Yeah, primarily because they felt they were dissed by the college administrators. The 40 groups were invited. CNN in the sort of student activities was working. And if you were a nice group, you know, fraternity, college Democrat, you got invited onto the floor. But they wouldn't invite For a Better Ohio. So the leader of For a Better Ohio just got mad and went over and, in national security and all, went over and duplicated 80 tickets.
So what were you guys so ticked off about? It seems to me that if the president wants to go around and explain his position and try to get input from general, you know, corn-eating Midwesterners, well, then that should be a good thing.
Well, yeah, sure, if he was doing that, but he wasn't doing that. I mean,
what was he doing?
This was a pep rally for war. This had nothing to do with a real town meeting. At a real town meeting, you can go up, make a statement, ask a question. It's open to everyone. This was a totally...
Are you saying the Pilgrims didn't have red and white tickets?
No, and Bill Clinton has scripted most of his presidency this way. He's been very successful. In fact, what most of the media forgets, since we're in Columbus, I recall it very clearly, is Bill Clinton had already scripted an event at for CNN at the Fawcett Senate for tomorrow. He had a very successful, you know, the future of the workforce and technology gathering up at the Fawcett Center, which was completely scripted, where people, professors and, you know, you'd see people asking questions, but they'd really be local Democratic Party hacks. And I speak here as the 55th Ward Democratic elected leader and someone who voted for Clinton in 92, but not 96. So he's already scripted these events in Columbus, and he did them at the Ohio State University. And I thought he was going to go in there and have a pep rally for war, and that, you know, they announced it very late. They handpicked the audience, and some people didn't think that was a town meeting. People like myself, I think it was a sacrilege. If it's going to be a town meeting, it's a town meeting.
But obviously they didn't pick the right people.
Well, I don't think, you know, there's a lot of things that have changed. One, I would argue, is the Internet. You know, once we posted where the rally was going to be at 15th and High, you know, we had people, you know, from all over the Midwest and people from all over Columbus who could instantaneously, you know, we could coordinate via email. And that, in the old days, it would have taken, you know, 2-3 weeks, maybe a month to turn out 350 to 400 people outside. But now you had, you know, you could do that in 2 to 3 days.
Bob Patrinkas, were you and the other people who are opposed to the war and who protested at the big town meeting last week, are you pleased with the announcement by Kofi Annan that some agreements have been made with the Iraqis and with Saddam Hussein to allow weapons inspectors in the country, in all those presidential palaces, and that for the time being, at least, no war will take place?
Sure, and I think if you saw Time magazine this week, they linked the two events, and I think they are linked.
But you don't think that this is just some sort of shallow attempt by the government to say, oh, we screwed up?
At the town meeting, or...
A little bit of both that and just the whole fact that war isn't as popular as it used to be.
Well, I don't think that. I think that, to a large extent, that they had scheduled a pep rally for war, and, you know, the White House aide said it was, quote, a debacle. In fact, the bizarrest thing, at one point I read in the New York Times, they suggested it was the Spartacus League, a Marxist-Leninist organization that doesn't even exist in Columbus. We've never seen a Spart here in the 10 years I've been in this town, that somehow it was a sinister force, when in reality it really was the administration's policy and their inability to explain just exactly what they were doing. While the so-called hecklers for a healthy democracy unnerved the people that were talking, Madeleine Albright and, you know, William Cohen, it really was the inability of the administration to answer questions. And one of the things that we did is before people went in, we passed out a flyer which had a variety of those questions on it, and saying, if you get near a mic, here's some questions you might want to ask. How is the attack on Iraq going to eliminate Saddam Hussein? Will it end the weapons of mass destruction? Because we knew that the administration had said no to both of those things, that it wasn't going to eliminate Saddam, that they'd be back up producing within a week and at full capacity in 6 months, that in fact all they were doing was sending a message. I'll tell you why the war had more support, and I didn't support the war the last time. It had support because George Bush allowed the U.S. Congress and the Senate in particular to debate it, and then he went to the U.N. Bill Clinton did neither of those things.
Why won't he do it? Why won't Clinton go through those steps?
Well, number one, because the U.N. would refuse to sanction it. France, which has been very careful and nuanced in its stance, Russia and China are all saying that it doesn't merit an attack at this point.
And so we're the only ones in the world who care about the Iraqis having anthrax and botulism and dysentery and all that stuff?
And nuclear bombs.
Well, no, here's the problem is that the whole biological and nuclear weapons is a red herring. That's a focus group. That what scares the American people, the biological and chemical weapons, you know, and as well as I do, that you know any moderate-sized bizarre religious cult in Japan can produce chemicals. We could produce those at Columbus State tomorrow if we so chose. You can download it from the internet. And biological warfare, again, the delivery system is what really matters to a large extent. But I mean, we're the one that the United States is the one that gave them the anthrax. The Germans were the ones in the 80s. That gave him the, not the anthrax, but the gas. I mean, it really was a creation of the United States, along with the Soviet Union and China and France and the Western allies, that really created Saddam Hussein's modern army, and we wanted it used on the Iranians. And as long as he was attacking the Iranians, we didn't care whether he was using gas or biological weapons.
Okay, so, if the biological weapons is a red herring, what's the real reason for us being so aggressive to Iraq?
I mean, there's a variety of reasons.
Is it Lewinsky? Is it Wag the Dog? Is that what's going on here?
Well, I think you can't totally discount that for something that's been going on for, you know, 6-7 years, and suddenly you've got a crisis in the White House. So I think that bears looking into. The other thing I think is that the Russians and Russian nationalists are being more assertive in the Gulf region. They're trying to extend their influence. I think the other thing was to really show that the U.S. is the world's only mega power, and that we are the dominant factor in that region. Why else would you take a U.N. inspector's problem and turn it into a unilateral U.S. attack on Iraq?
Because aren't we the U.N.? I mean, if the U.N. sends in troops, they're sending in American troops.
That's true, but the U.N. still got to sanction the event. I mean, there's at least 6 countries in that region that have the same weapons of mass destruction.
But they're not run by a madman, is what the Clinton.
And they're not invading little countries called Kuwait.
Well, again, the little country called Kuwait, I mean, Saddam negotiated or attempted to for 2 years for Kuwait. He was encouraged by Saudi Arabia and Henry Kissinger to put pressure on Kuwait. I mean, they were slant drilling into the Ramallah oil field. I mean, we used Iraq to attack Iran. After they took our hostages back in, you know, 1979-80, we used the Iraqis to rein in the Iranian Revolution. And then when they got sick of killing each other for 8 years and 1 million people died between the two countries, then Saddam was $40-50 billion in debt, and that's when he asked Kuwait why they'd been slant drilling during the war. Plus, that was U.S. technology. We're the ones that delivered the technology, Kuwait, that allowed them to slant drill into the Ramallah oil field and then sell the oil at $13 a barrel to the United States.
Stinking Kuwaitis.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. If you would like to talk to our guest, Bob Petrinkas, he's opposed to aggression in the Middle East. You can call up on the Secret Celebrity Hotline at 961-8900. We can take a couple of calls before the hour is over. 961-8900. Now, Bob, what do you think if Iraq really is making these big, evil, awful chemical or biological or even atomic or nuclear weapons, and they use them on Israel or some other Middle Eastern country or even in the heartland, how are you going to feel then?
Well, I think the chances of using those weapons would have been up dramatically had we bombed Iraq. I think by averting the military strike that you have a far better chance, and again, General Schwarzkopf made the same point. I'm not alone here, so is President Jimmy Carter.
You and the bear.
So, I mean, what he pointed out is that if the U.S. would attack, the Iraqis would have had an excuse to retaliate. What they would have probably done is launch an attack on Israel, just as they did during the last Gulf War, in hopes of making it an Arab-Israeli conflict.
Yeah, what's going on with Boris Yeltsin saying this would be World War III? What's he talking about?
Well,
I think he's just blowing smoke.
No, he was using that scenario. The U.S. attacks Iraq. Iraq then retaliates against Israel. The Arab nations, the Arab states are not lined up with the U.S. this time. It sets off a Palestinian revolt. It sets off an attack from Syria. As a result of that, you end up with a greatly escalated conflict because you don't have a labor government in Israel now or a government prone to peace. You had Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Who's a bloodthirsty ex-terrorist.
Well, the main thing he would have told them, and he was on the record, he said he was going to, if they were attacked, he was going to retaliate. And there was the estimates from the defense strategist is you had about a 10% chance of a theater war. And if it went to a theater war, you did have a 2 to 3% chance that theater or tactical nuclear weapons would have been used. So I think Boris Yeltsin, who is probably drinking a little, as he often does, was thinking of the worst-case scenario there, which there really was a possibility that you could have provoked a much larger conflict.
Do you think that a much larger conflict is to come, regardless of Kofi Annan's deal that he made the other day, regardless of how Clinton feels about the troops today? Do you think that some sort of escalated conflict is inevitable?
Well, I think is that the key thing people are missing, if we were really worried about peace in the Middle East, what we would do is lift the economic sanctions, allow food and humanitarian medical aid to go in, but we would put sanctions for weapons on the entire region. While the U.S. always talks about peace, I mean, we're the major arms dealer there. I mean, after the Gulf War, we have to sell $10 or $15 billion to the Saudis and the Kuwaitis, which then means we have to sell billions more to the Israelis. Because we do that, we have to sell $7 billion more to the Egyptians, and because we sell to the Egyptians, we got to sell more to the people in Turkey, and then we have to sell more to the people of Syria. So while in the name of peace, I mean, what the Americans forget is that their government and their military industrial complex is the single largest supplier of weapons to that region. So while we often talk about peace, we've been arming the region to the teeth. If we really wanted peace there, we would establish a military embargo to all the countries in that region. We wouldn't be arming the hell out of Saddam in the 1980s as we did, and then get mad at him when he actually uses it.
Do you think war in the Middle East would mean the coming of the tribulation and the Antichrist?
Well, and if so, who's the evil beast?
And the cashless society?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, obviously there's an Armageddon scenario, whether you want to say it's prophesized the Revelation or not.
Well, the Bible says it's going to be over in that general area.
Well, obviously, if you wanted to pick the best starting point for World War III, the Middle East would be the best.
Okay, here's another bizarre scenario that I read today. The reason why your government is sending troops to Iraq, Middle East.
This is good.
And they're also sending them to Korea and these other quote-unquote hot spots around the globe.
That are all coincidentally happen to be very, very, very far away from our own shores.
We're going
to
send all the American troops outside of the country. Then you know what kind of troops will be left in the country? That's right, UN troops. What do you think about that theory?
Black helicopters.
That we're just moving all the U.S. troops offshore so the UN troops can come in and soon control the United States.
They already got the U.N. tanks in Canada. I know somebody
and
who saw them
there. And at Wright Pat. There'll only be U.N. troops.
They
at
got
Wright
Russian
Pat.
MiGs at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base right here in Ohio.
What do you think about that? Yeah.
Well, I would hope it's the U.N. troops. Aren't those the ones in Yugoslavia that, in order to fight back, had to call New York for permission? Now, I actually think we're moving the troops overseas for a very simple reason, and that is to protect U.S. corporate interests in South Korea and in a variety of other places where there's a lot of brutal dictatorship.
Don't forget Monica Lewinsky.
Well, I don't know if we're moving them offshore for Monica Lewinsky, but I think, you know, Monica Lewinsky is, the prices are related. I don't see how people can't see that. I think it's, you know, in many cases, it's frat house foreign policy.
How would you like to be, I'm sorry to interrupt, how would you like to be Monica Lewinsky and everybody would be blaming World War III on you? That would suck.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah, literally.
But again, I mean, part of our argument is that this was frat house foreign policy. It's like after an all-night kegger in a session with Monica in the Oval Office.
Well, he should be very relaxed after that.
Oh, yeah.
But he was feeling quite manly. Is that there's no sort of rational explanation of what's going on with, you know, why you would do it at this point. I mean, Saddam hasn't attacked anybody. I mean, other than being in the people talking about impeachment, what else was really going on? Saddam's doing the exact same thing he's been doing for 6 or 7 years.
Well, Bob Fitrakis, we all know that when they say U.S. interest, they mean U.S. corporations.
Sure.
And they mean the big giant guys making all the bucks. And when they say they're looking out for U.S. interests, they're not looking out for your interest. They're not looking out for my interest. They're looking out for the Fortune 400's interest. And we sure appreciate you coming on the Chris and Romble late night talk show and sharing your opinions about the Middle East with us.
Glad to be on, and I couldn't agree with you more with the corporate interest. Remember, what they're really worried about is whether we can keep the world's largest Kentucky Fried Chicken franchise in Beijing.
They got Gold Star Chili in Saudi Arabia, too.
Wherever you see the golden arches.
That's right.
Think of the new sovereign state of the United States.
Thanks.
Okay.
See ya.
Bye.
The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The phone number is 749-1444.
Did you learn anything, Puffy? Mark? Mark Eichner, the head of Miracle Records, has been soaking all this in.
Well, yeah, I think I did learn a little bit there. I pretty much got from that I disagree about the whole corporate thing.
You're ready to go and list, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, you're a major corporate guy, though, now. You're a young businessman. You're a suit.
That's right. Yeah, I am a suit now, and I don't know. I think the whole thing just boils down to Lewinsky, and that's...
You think it really? You think it's that easy?
Yeah.
You think it's that easy?
I do.
You think it's just Lewinsky?
I think it's only Lewinsky.
749-1444. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Our... Let the three guys you can read have them.
Okay, that would be you, my friend.
Hey, it's Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show on WIF, the Aronoff Center for the Arts needs art gallery assistance. You will greet the public and answer questions regarding exhibits. For more information, call the Aronoff Center at 977-4113, 977-4113.
The American Red Cross Cincinnati chapter is seeking volunteers for various positions. For more information about volunteer opportunities, call the Red Cross at 579-3074.
Start your afternoon with CJ and Christ the Lord and gospel music every Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. with Stepchild Radio's Gospel Unlimited show.
How about that? That was pretty famous.
749-1444. We take calls at this show. It's called the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We're going to talk at you here for a little bit. In Portsmouth, Rhode Island. By the way, Rhode Island just kicked the bejeebers out of the mighty Xavier Musketeers tonight by a whole point. And Xavier had plenty of opportunities to catch up.
What about Indiana? Bob Knight got three technicals.
That was something. Did you see him going nuts on the court?
The guy from Illinois stabbed one of his players.
They're still showing
him. Call a foul on him.
They're still showing those clips on ESPN.
The guy from Illinois stabbed him right in the neck.
More importantly, it did look like Bob Knight was going to break down and cry at the press conference.
It looked like Bob Knight was going to cry and retire tonight.
I thought I heard a sniffle in there.
And that would just, you know, he's the greatest coach of all time, and they're the best team of all time, and that would just break my heart. But I hope he gets out while he's still brilliant.
In Portsmouth, Rhode Island, the ACLU, what's that stand for?
American Civil Liberties Union, or what'd they say in Mississippi Burning?
I don't remember.
Alligator, crocodiles, lions, and something.
The ACLU of Portsmouth, Rhode Island says that the town council has gone too far in banning wet t-shirt and hot legs contests.
Oh, who's that knocking on the door?
Stephen Brown of the local ACLU in that part of the country says that wet t-shirt contests are protected.